All right, we're starting with Hashem Seita Daf Mem Beis, the new parak, which is picking up with a new topic, but very much is introduced to us through the idea that the last parak was Elu Nemar and B'chol Lashon. We were discussing things that could be said in any Lashon, and then we moved on to Elu Nemar and B'Lashon HaKredesh. We had Mikra Bikurim, Chalitza, Berachos Suklalos, which we discussed extensively, Berachos Kayanim, which we spent a few days discussing, Berachos Kayin Gadol, which we had on Yom Kippur, Upar Samelech was Hakel, we had that yesterday, and now we're going to be up to, really it's out of order, and actually the Mefarsh Mishnah on this, but it's out of order, because the next thing in the mission on Elon Amarim, it said Uparshas Egla Rufa, which will be the next parak, then we have Umashuach Melchama, which is what we're going to be discussing now, is the idea of Mashuach Melchama. They say that because Egla Rufa, there's a lot more to discuss, so we have fewer things to discuss on, so we just put that first. But again, Al Kopanim, Mashuach Melchama was the parsha in Shaftin. So the Mashuach Melchama would get up, and he was the one leading the troops out to battle. And he would say that if you meet any of the four criteria, so then go back home. If you Yiras Isha V'loi Lekacha, if you were not the Karam V'lechilala, Banabayis, you built a house, but you didn't live in it yet. And then afterwards, so there were four things, okay? And then there was a Yarei Varach HaLevav. If you're afraid, then don't, right? Yarei afraid of the Averis that you had. So those were the four. And he would give this declaration. So he had the status, Mashuach Melchama. That's what he was called, the Mashuach Melchama. We'll discuss a little bit, maybe when we get to the end of the Amud, before we get to some of the more Agadah to Gemara. So Mashuach Melchama, B'shash Medaber Lam. So he would get up and he would speak to the people. And he would say, and again, if you meet any of these criteria, go back home. So B'lashon HaKodesh Hayim Medaber, he would speak in Lashon HaKodesh. And Nemar, as the Pasuk says, V'hoya Kekarav Chemel HaMelchama V'nigash HaKayein. So we don't actually see from here. The Gemara, that's going to be the first question of the Gemara, is how do we see from here that it has to be B'lashon HaKodesh? But this is the Parsha of Mashuach Melchama. V'hoya Kekarav Chemel HaMelchama, when they get close to the war, V'nigash HaKayein, Zekayin Mashuach Melchama. So that's the Kayin Melchama who would get up and talk. V'dibel Ar'am B'lashon HaKodesh. Okay, he would get up and he would speak Lashon HaKodesh. V'amar Aleihem, and he would say to them, right, okay, V'diber Ala'am, he would speak B'lashon HaKodesh, right? The Pasuk says V'diber Ala'am, and we're saying it's B'lashon HaKodesh, but we don't have a makar to know why it's B'lashon HaKodesh. V'amar Aleihem, and he would say to the troops that were there, Shema Yisrael, listen, Aleveichem, Alecheichem, okay, that he was saying that you're now going to war, Aleveichem. Okay, and the point is, so why was he saying Aleveichem? He was saying, Aleveichem, your enemies, v'loy alacheichem, to differentiate, saying, just be aware of who you're going to fight against. These are not your brothers, meaning, lo Yehuda al Shimon, v'loy Shimon al Binyamin. This is not like a civil war of Yehuda al Shimon and Shimon al Binyamin. She'im tipol biyadam yirachmu aleichem, that they'll at least treat you with some sort of, they'll treat you as human beings. Understand, these are people who have no shaychus to you, and they are going to be very cruel to you. So just understand that was a motivational factor. Fear is a great motivation. Understand that you're going to war with people who are not going to treat you as human beings. At least when we talked about a civil war, Yehuda and Shimon and Binyamin, that at least they would treat you as human beings. And we'll see. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, Vayakumu Anashim Asher Nikevu B'Shemos, Vayachaziku B'Shivya. So they took the prisoners of war. V'chol ma'arumehem hilbishu. Anyone that was unclothed, they actually clothed them. Minashalo. Vayalbishum. Right, they clothed them. Vayanilum. They put shoes on. Vayachilum. They fed the prisoners of war. Vayashkum. And they gave them to drink. Vayaschum. And they smeared them. They anointed them. Whatever they needed to do. They put on whatever ablutions they needed. Vayinaleim. Bachamayrin. They led them. They didn't make them walk on foot. It wasn't a death march, but rather on donkeys. Lokol Koishel, Vayavium, they brought the prisoners of war, Yerichayir, Atmarim, Eitzel, Achehem, Vayashuvu, Shimron. Okay, and we see that in Yisrael. Now, Rashi interestingly says that there was in the war that we're talking about over here, that is Fekach ben Ramalyahu, that it was the Melech Yisrael with the Melech Yehudam, Achaz, so they captured the Mibnei Yehuda. And that's the backstory here that, again, the Mashuach Melchama is coming to motivate them and say, this is not going to be like the wars of the Malach Yisrael, Malach Yehuda, where they actually treated them, they treated the prisoners of war nicely. They took care of them. Now, Rashi does point out that this was done at the urging of the Navi. V'sham haya Navi oided shemay v'hechichem l'vnei Yisrael. This wasn't just because they wanted to be nice. They were obviously fighting a war. But at least there was somebody presiding over the war that had some sort of standing for both parties that was able to ensure that the prisoners of war would be treated somewhat humanely. Okay, Alei Veichem. So understand, says the Mashuach Muhammad, this is not who we're dealing with, but rather Alei Veichem, Atem Holchem, you're going out to war with your enemies. Shem Tiplu B'Yaldam, if you fall into their hands, Ein Merachma Aleichem. They will not have any Rachmanas on you. Al Rei Yerach L'Avchem. Okay, don't be afraid. Al Tiru V'Al Tach B'Zu, Lashon of fear. Al Yerach L'Avchem. What does that mean? Al Yerach L'Avchem, don't be afraid. Nei Tzahal Asusim, from the neighing of the horses, V'Tzich Tzuach Harbais, and the glistening of the, you see, watch the sun glisten off of the swords. Al tiru mipnei hagafas trisim, that lashon of don't be afraid, a lashon of fear, is mipnei hagafas trisim, from the clashing of the shields. They would clash them together and make noise. Vishayfas hakal gasin, okay, and this is the from the hordes of the regiments of soldiers. Al tachbizu mikol karnois, don't be afraid. Another lashon of different lashonis of fear from the horns that they're going to use. Al ta'artu, don't be broken. Okay, meaning don't give up on saying that we have no hope. Mipnei kol tzavachos, why? Why should you not? All these displays of strength and of war, why should they not why should you not be afraid of these things? Right, because we have Hashem that's going to go in front of us, which is, we're going to see, it's the Arai. They are being led at the charge, I would say, is the Lashon, the charge of a Basar B'dam. And you are coming at the charge, meaning who's leading Klal Yisrael into war? Essentially, it's the Aron, it's the Shechina. They have a general, they have a Basar B'dam, we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu with us, and therefore, you should not be afraid of these things. Plishtim ba'o menatzchuna shel Galias, who they led to war with by Goliath. Maha yasoifoi l'soif nafal b'cherev, that he fell, okay, he was killed in battle. V'naflu imai, right? So not only was he killed, but his nation was killed as well. Bnei Amon ba'u menatzchuna shel Shevach. Bnei Amon was led into war by Shevach. He was a general. Rashi says, shel sar tziva hadrezar. Okay, he was led into battle. Maha yosoifoi. So what was Shevach's end? Where did he meet his end? Soifa loss of maha yosoifoi. L'soif nafal v'cherev. He fell. Again, he was killed by the sword of Naflu Amoy. And his nation was killed in battle as well. Va'atem, but the point is, understand that you are not like these other nations you're fighting against. Va'atem, you call Yisrael Yatem Kain, Hashem Elokechem, Elokechem, Machem, Hashem's going to go in front of you, Lachem, Lachem, Zem, Machane Ha'aron, that the Aron goes in front, leads them into war. So you are being charged, you're charging into war, being led by the Shechina Kaviyachal. Okay, so now my comrade, let's go back. So the first thing we had to, right, why are we talking about Mashuach Muhammad? Because that was one of the parshas that had to be said B'Lashon HaKodesh. And the Mishnah just said, V'diber al-am B'Lashon HaKodesh. So the question is, how do you see that? My comrade, Hachi comrade. Shenemar V'diber ulalonu oimer Moshe yidaber v'alekim yanenu b'kom. That Moshe and Hashem conversed, right, at Har Sinai, Moshe Yidaber Belakim Ayanen Bakal, Malalon Blashon HaKodesh, the Torah must have been given in Lashon HaKodesh, Afkan Blashon HaKodesh. So we're learning from Vidiber. Now the problem is, and Tosis brings this in, he actually brings in a Yerushalmi, who says that we just use Vidiber to say, like by Kriyashma, Vidibar Tabam. And by Kriyashma, we said it was Bechol Lashon. So what are you? So the Yerushalmi actually says it's not from Vidiber, different Lashon, we'll argue on the Bavli, but rather it's from the Nigash, that it's Vinigash, it says Vinigshu Akainim Bnei Levi, and it says Vinigash Moshe Ala Rafal, that he used a lashon of Vinigash by the Kayin. Right, what did it say? Vinigash HaKayin. So we use a lashon of Vinigash over here by the Mashuach Melchama to lead them into war. We use a lashon of Vinigshu Akainim that Bnei Levi, that there was a Nigash towards the Shechina, and that was also, again, referring to when Klal Yisrael received the Torah. Tan Rabbanan, v'nigash ha-kayin v'diber al ha'am, yachol kol kayin she'yirtza. You might think, so any kayin, it could be a random kayin who just made it through the ranks and he was now leading the army. Tam alamer v'didbru ha-shoytrim, that it had to be like the shoytrim. Now, there were two dibars. The kayin gadol was the spiritual, motivational, strategic advisor, okay, and then the shoytrim were like the enforcers. So the Kohen Gadol was like the more of the rah-rah guy. Okay, I have a strategy, we're going to do this, and we're going to weed out the people who meet the following criteria. And then you had the Shaitrim, who were more of the fear tactics within the army to make sure that nobody would break rank, break ranks, everybody would stay in line. Okay, v'dibra shaytrim, ma shaytrim bimemuna, just like the shaytrim had to be appointed. Afkayim bimemuna ve'ema. Okay, so this can't, we're trying to get a picture of who is this Mashuach Melchama. So we're saying that it can't just be a random kayin that escalated through. It had to be a mamuna. Somebody was appointed for this job. Ve'ema kayin gadol. Okay, well, why don't we just say, if we're talking about appointees within the realm of a kayin, just say kayin gadol, because he was appointed. So the Gemara says, dumya de shayter. It has to be like a shayter. Ma shayter sheish mamuna al gabav. A shayter, he isn't the top dog. There's somebody else in charge of him. Af kayin sheish mamuna al gabav. You need somebody else where someone else is going to be in charge. So the Gemara says, kayin gadol, nami ha'eka melech al gabav. Well, the kayin gadol, like we saw before, in the order of passing the Sefer Torah, it went Kayin Gadol up to the Melech, so the Melech is in charge of him. So the Gemara says, Ba'avay Daso. We need somebody who's going to be on top of him when it comes to the Avay Ema Sagan. Okay, so if you have to find somebody who was appointed, who is a person appointed into a leadership position, but still isn't the top guy, why don't we just say the Skan Kayin? So the Gemara says, Skan Lamemunahu. The Skan was not actually appointed yet. He was waiting in the wings. The Tanya Amar Bechanina Skan Akwanim Lama Skan Mamuna. What was the point of them being Mamuna? That's only Shem Ira Bay Pasol the Kayin Gadol Nechnasu Mishamish Tachtav. And what we're saying is like this: that the Skan, until the something happens to the Kayin Gadol and he has to fill the position, is not invested with any power or authority. He's just waiting in the wings. He's handpicked to be the next guy if something should happen to the Kayin Gadol, but he doesn't have a position of stature right then and there. He's not invested with authority to actually do anything. And we need the Mashuach Mochama to be somebody who's invested with authority to do something. Okay, Vaymer Aleim. So I just want to talk about this Mashuach Mochama for a moment over here. And this famous Minchas Chinuch that discusses it brings down the Gemara in Harius. It says, so who is the Mashuach Mochama? So we know right now that it has to be somebody who has a Kayin Gadol on top of him. So he's not the top guy, but he has to be appointed. And the Gemara in Harius learns from the pasuk that we just had. That's what the pasuk says. We just had this in Emor. And what is the Shemen HaMishcha? The Gemara in Harius says, Daf Yud Beis, that it's the Mashuach Melchama. That's who the pasuk is talking about when it says Asher Yutzak Al Reishay Shemen HaMishcha. Now, and he has dinim like a Kohen Gadol, meaning he cannot be just like a Kohen Gadol is not able to be Fareo Farim. He can't tear his clothes. He can't have torn clothes. He can't grow his hair out. He is not allowed to be metama to crave him, even to crave him, Kohen Gadol. Okay, and he is not allowed to marry an almana, and he has to marry a besula. So there's five, with these five things that the Mashuach Melchama actually had very similar halachas to Mashuach. The Mashuach Melchama had very similar halachas to the Kohen Gadol, the actual Kohen Gadol. Now we're definitely calling him a Mashuach Melchama. Nafkamina like this. Was there a Mashuach Melchama in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash? Okay, meaning that we know that Yoshio was Nignaz. We had it a few times in Shkalim, we had it in Yuma, that Yoshio was Nignaz, the Shemen, the original Shemen that was used for anointing the Kohen Gadol. So if so, how did you ever have somebody who was anointed? How could you become initiated to become a Kohen Gadol? So the answer was, you are Bibigadim. As soon as you put on the eight clothes of a Kohen Gadol, b'shas avoda, that essentially will take the place of what the Shemen HaMishcha would have done, because now that's the initiation into becoming a Kohen Gadol. Well, the question is, so it's clear that the Mashuach Melchama had the capabilities of asking the Urim V'Tumim, which means that he had to at some point wear the Shemen HaBegadim, but that was only at the war front. And the Gemara in Yuma, Taf Ayin Gimel, discusses a Machlekes Amoraim. When the Mashuach Melchama would be in the Beis HaMikdash, did he dress like the Kohen Gadol, or did he dress Dalad Begadim? And that would be the Nafkamina, whether there's a way, after Yeshio was Nignaz the Shemen HaMishcha, whether there was a possibility of having a Mashuach Melchama in the times of after that point. Because by Kohen Gadol, if the only way to initiate is doing the Avodah with the 8 Begadim, so then we have a way to initiate, to bring you into a Mashuach, even though there's no Shemen. But if the Mashuach Melchama was unable to do the Avodah with the Yishmayna Begadim, so then there's no way to initiate him, then there's no concept of a Mashuach Melchama once the Shemen HaMishcha was Nignas. So the Michas Chinuch actually brings down that because Lamaskana, we paskin that the Mashuach Melchama, when he would do Avodah, would do it only with the Dalad Begadim. Therefore, there must not have been a Mashuach Melchama after Yoshio was Nignas the Shemen HaMishkan. In the times, essentially, if you want to just make the dividing line, in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a Shulchan Aruch HaChama. In the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, he wants to say that there wasn't. He does bring down Akasha, though, from Yosefon, that records the historical events, Josephus, that records the historical events of the Maccabim, that he says that both Yehuda HaMaccabee and Matasyahu Kohen Gadol had the role, that Yehuda HaMaccabee was the Mashuach Melchama. That he was the Mashuach Melchama. Well, if so, it's as times the second Beis HaMikdash, so how is there a Mashuach Melchama? So he wants the answer that it was really ceremonial, meaning, like we said, that it's the person, it's the one who's motivating the troops, that it wasn't the full authority invested with him as Mashuach Melchama, as if he was anointed, but rather, that's how he wants the answer. There are others, though, Ramesh Soloveitchik brings down that he says that there is a discussion whether a regular Kohen Gadol could also fulfill this role. Well, if that's true, so then you could take a regular Kohen Gadol and then have him fill this, have this role. But I think in our Gemara, it's Ksas Mashma, not that way, right? We said that it has to be somebody who is appointed and is under, who has a boss, but that is another way to deal with that. Okay, so that is essentially the question. Is there a Mashuach Melchama from a time perspective where we limited to only the first Beis HaMikdash? Also, there is a question as far as the Mashuach Melchama's concerns, what type of war are we talking about? Is it a Melchama's Rishos? Is it a Melchama's Chayva? Okay, when did they go through this whole process? So we'll see. V'amar Aleim Shema Yisrael. Okay, so the first thing that the Mashuach Melchama would get up to say is Shema Yisrael. Now, why specifically is this? My Shema Shema Yisrael. Amar V'yechen, Mishim Rav Shem V'yechai. Amar Lema Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Yisrael, Afilu L'Kiyamtem Ela Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis. That even if you only, the only mitzvahs you kept were reading Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis, E Atem Nimtzarim V'Yadam. That's going to be enough to save you. Okay, that's the minimum. Minimum requirements to be considered a Torah observant Jew is to say Shema Yisrael Shachos Anavros. Ayerach Levavchem Al Tiru. In regards to, let's say, Lima Torah, I think that's what it's referring to. Ayerach Levavchem Al Tiru Val Tachbazu. Ton Rabbanim Pamayim Medaber Imam. So now there would be two conversations with the army. Achas Bisfar, the Achas Bimulchama. So one was at the border, meaning when they would gather the troops at the edge of their land before they actually went to the war front. And then there would be one, once they left their land, that would be at the war front, right? So that's Achas Besfar, Achas Melchama. Melchama is the front. Besfar Mahu Aimer. So what did he say at the Sfar, at the border? Meaning all the troops would be called up. They would assemble to the edge of the land before they left their country, before going to the battlefront. And what would they say? Besfar Mahu Aimer. Shimu divrei ma'arache ha-melchama v'chazru. Okay, listen, so that was the four things. So we just want to understand that the Mashuach Melchama, the first thing would say is, those are the four things. Meaning somebody who, if you have a legitimate reason for turning around and going back home, you built a house, you were not a karam, you planted a vineyard, you didn't get to enjoy it yet, you use isha, yarei v'racha levav. So any of those four, we would, before they actually went to the battlefront, we would make that declaration once the troops gathered there and send them back home. What would he say to them? That's okay. Once they got to the battlefront, that's what the Mishnah was talking about. Don't be afraid of all the machinations that the enemy is doing to try to get you to be fearful. Why? Because you have the Shechina with you. Now these four things, that the four Lashon HaSafir, Altiru, Altachbazu, Altartu, Yerach Levavchem, Altiru, Altachbazu, Altartu, those four Lashon HaSafir are connected to Arbet Varm Shaydi, Kechavim, Oisim, that there's the four things that the enemy would do, that the Kechavim would do in war, Magifin, Ma'arin, Tzavachin. Okay, so they would cry out, they would clash the different shields, Tzavachim, the Rumsin, they would stomp. Okay, so these different things, as described in the Mishnah, they would do. There's a couple in the Mishnah, Rashi tells on it, that don't appear here, but there were four things that they would do, were standard tactics of war, fear tactics of war, to try to insert into the enemy. Plishtim ba'u b'natzchayna shel galius. We said that we're different. We, the enemies, come with their fear tactics. We come with the Shechina. And then we brought two examples of both Goliath and Shevach, that they came. So the Plishtim came and were led into war at the charge of Goliath. Goliath, Amar Rav Yechanan, she'amad ki gilui ponim. Okay, he had chutzpah lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'amar. Right, we all know the famous story of Goliath. He said, choose somebody to fight against me. Who did they choose? David. She'amar, as you said, so what did Goliath say? Baru lachem, choose for yourself ish, v'yered elai, and send somebody to fight me. He was really kaviyachol summoning a Kaddish Baruch Hu to battle. Shenemar Hashem ish milchama amar a Kaddish Baruch Hu hareini mapila yidei Benish. You know who? I'm gonna send Benish. I'm gonna send somebody who's on a much lower stature to defeat Goliath. Shenemar v'David ben ish efrasi hazeh. Amar Rav Yechon Mishum Rameir b'shleishim mekaymes lachtu piv lo yisa rasha. Three times his mouth got him into trouble. His overconfidence. Echad baru lachem ish vayirei lai v'idach, and the second thing that Goliath said was im yuchal lachem iti v'ikuni. Okay, that again he was saying that you won't be able to fight with me and beat me. V'idach to karmar leilu David, he said to David, hakelav anoichi, you think I'm just a little dog? Ki ad boy lai b'maklois, that you come to me, you come to fight me with a stick. You're coming to battle me in war with a stick. And lemaisa he was able to, right, with a slingshot, he was able to kill him. David nami amar lei, he said to him, ata. But David said, replied back to him, Nami Amarle, Ata ba elai becherev, bechanis, ubekidoin. You're coming against me with these spears. You think you're in such control. You blasphemed that Kaddish Baruch Hu. You kaviyachol summoned that Kaddish Baruch Hu to war. You think you're coming with spears and I should be afraid of you? I'm not going to be afraid of you. Okay, he said, don't worry. I am coming with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayigash HaPlishtim, Hashkem V'erev. So it says, Vayigash HaPlishti, the Plishti advanced, Hashkem, he woke up very early, V'harev, and he stayed up very late. What is that, what is the significance of the Hashkem V'harev? Amar Rav Yechanan, K'dei Levatla, Mekriya Shema, Shachris V'arvis. That he knew that, again, this ties into what we said on Amud Aleph, he knew that if they have Kriya Shema, Shachris, and Arvis, that's going to be enough of a zchus for them to win the war. So he went ahead and summoned them to war to try to cause them to be nichshal, to not be able to say Kriya Shema, Shachris, and Arvis. And Goliath, so aside from all the fear tactics of the war, he was trying to undermine the strengths of Klal Yisrael. Goliath stood for 40 days. Connected the 40 days that the Torah was given. Now actually, I saw something bring down that if you look at it, these were the 40 days right after the Torah was given, where Moshe Rabbeinu was gone. So it was considered a hole, meaning when Moshe was there the whole time in the Midbar, he was teaching Torah, fine. But those 40 days was considered a hole in the Lima Torah. So he was coming to unlock the hole of the Lima Torah. That was the same 40 days. Just like he was coming to fill the morning and the night, which would have been the time where they had the schus of Shema, morning and night. So too, he was trying to take away, because there was no schus for those 40 days. Moshe wasn't there. It's a ish ha-beinayim, imachanas plishtim, my beinayim. So it says, again, this is all referring to Goliath. What's ish ha-beinayim, in between? My beinayim, amarav, shemevuna mikol mum. Okay, it means beinayim is a lashon of mevuna. He was perfect, meaning he had no mum. Mevuna mikol mum. Mishmol amar, what's beinayini? He was not the greatest, beinayini sheba echav. Okay, that he wasn't. There were four sons. We're going to see that Goliath's mother was Arpa, the famous Arpa. Four sons, and he wasn't even the greatest. He was the middle son. Okay, and yet he was a great warrior. What's the lashon of beinayim? That he was strong like a building. Rabbi Yechanan Amar bar meya papi v'chada nane. That he was the it's a lashon of beinayim, meaning coming out from like a mixture. And what this means, Rabbi Yechanan Amar bar meya papi, that his mother was with 100 men v'chada nanesi. So with 101 men. And we don't know who the father is. One of the 101, Barmea Papi, 100, stepfathers or godfathers, right? People who considered fathers because they knew his mother. But only one of them was the Chada Na'ane, right? That would be one father. Rashi says, what is Na'ane? That is Zehu Av Balash and Parsi. I don't know how you say Av and Parsi now, but father. Probably not Na'ane. But okay, Rashi, and Rashi's day, it was one. Okay, that is one pshat. Tosfos brings another pshat here, much more interesting pshat, we shall say, which is that this goes to the heart of the question is, can a woman become impregnated from two people? And Tosfos brings down a Yerushalmi that if the woman is with another man, actually nisrecha hazera, then the isha can be misaberes mishnei bnei adam ka'achas. That she can become pregnant from two people. And therefore, what we're actually saying is, and Tosfos brings down the Aruch, that Na'anai is not a person or a father, but rather is a dog. And the way to read the Gemara is, Rabbi Yechon Amar Barmea Papi V'chada Na'anai, that his mother was with so many men concurrently that he actually was a product of, He had the DNA of 100 different men and a dog. His mother was with a dog and 100 men, and that's the way to understand it, that the Zerah could be mavobal, that they could become pregnant from multiple people. V'Goliath Shemai, his name was Goliath Migas. He was from Gas. Goliath Migas, that was his name. Tanu Rav Yosef Shach, called Dushan. Why was he called Migas? So Gas is, we're saying it's a place, but it's also a play on words. It refers to a Gas as a wine press. Tanu Rav Yosef Shach, called Dushan as Imai Kigas. Everybody threshed his mother like a Gas. Okay, she was well trodden. Ksiv Ma'arais V'karinan Ma'arachais. Okay, so it says Ma'arais. And it's Lashon, meaning he was from, Rashi says, Mima Aras HaPlishtim. So again, we're referring, we attribute, and we've seen this many times throughout Nach, where we call somebody by their name. We had it most recently by Kalev, earlier in the Masechta. We had a bunch of names, right, pseudonames, a.k.a. It all meant Kalev, but it was really, we used different names. So it's almost like a code. So when we say where someone's from, it could have a dual meaning. It could either mean they're from that location, or it could refer to something in their lineage, or genealogy, that is an important marker to understand who they were. So again, we're saying that it said Mimaras Pelishtim. So what does that mean? Ksiv Maras V'Karinan Ma'arachas. Tan Rav Yosef Shakol Heru B'Imai. That everybody was, Hara is like the Tchilas Bia, that everybody had Bia with his mother. Ksiv Harafa. So who was Goliath's mother? It was Harafa. That was the name. Uksiv Arpa. Okay, so she had two names. One of them was Arpa. Arpa and Rus were the two daughter-in-laws of Nami. Rus stayed, Arpa went back. Okay, so this is, Arpa was the mother of Goliath. But we also call her Harafa. So we want to understand, anytime we have two names, which was the real name and why was she called the other name? So Harafa, Uksiv Arpa, Rav Shmuel Haramar Harafa Shma. Really, her name was Harafa. V'lama Nikra Shma Arpa. Why was she called Arpa? Shakol Arpin Isa Machareha. Arpa is a Lashon of, like, the back of the neck. So that everybody, when they had Bia with her, it was Me'acharea, from behind, back of the neck. V'chad Amar, Arpa Shema, really your name was Arpa, V'lama Nikra Shema Harafa, why was she called Harafa? Shakol Dushan Asa Kaharifa. That Harifa is a lesson of crushed wheat. Goes back to this idea that everybody was with her, like she was well used, like crushed wheat. V'cheinu Aymer, and the Pasuk says, and we're just going to bring a few psukim to show that wheat is something, right, but this lashon of harafa could be something that's crushed in a mortar, crushed like crushed wheat. Vatikach ha'isha, vatifreis hamasach al pnei haber, vatishtakach alel harifas. Okay, that's one lashon. V'iba yisema mehacha, another pasuk, it says, im techachesh es ha'avil, if you should pound down a fool, b'machtesh, with a mortar, b'soich harifas ba'ali. Okay, so we see that the thing getting crushed is called, crushed in the mortar is called harifas, and that's why we called her harafa, because everybody was, shakol dashen I saw harifa, like we said. V'es arbaas ela yoldu la harafa. So harafa, who was Goliath's mother, had four children. So Goliath was one of four children. La harafa begas, v'yiplu b'yad David u'v'yad avodav, and they all were killed in battle, by David and his avada, my nihu, Amarav Chista, who were the names, what were the four sons of Arpa, or Harafa, she's called, Safu, Madon, Goliath, B'yishbi, okay, and B'noiv. They all, that's where it happened. Vayiplu b'yad David, uviyad avadav, and they were killed by David and his servants, Techsiv, as the Pasuk says, Vatishak Arpa, Lachamoysa, V'rus, Dov Kaba. Okay, so what happened, and we know the famous story, that Rus was Dovka, stayed with Nami, and Arpa kissed her and said goodbye, right? Nami was dissuading them from being Megayer, and Arpa left. Amar Rav Yitzchak Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yavo B'nei HaNeshuka, that the one that kissed Nami goodbye, essentially, so the B'nei HaNeshuka, V'yiplu, will fall in battle B'yada B'nei HaDivuka, the one that clung, that stuck, V'ruz Dav Gaba, the one that stuck with Nami. Darash Rav B'Schar Arba Dimois Shehirida Arpa Al Chamaisa, Schar of the four tears that Arpa cried about leaving her mother-in-law, Zachsav Yatzmeno Arba Gibarim, she was at least able to have four Gibarim as sons. Shenemar Vatisena Koylan Vativ Kena Oid. Okay, again, these four sons ultimately ended up dying, Biyad David, Biyad Avadav, but that's what happened. Ksiv Chetz Chanisai. So this is a Lashon of Chetz Chanisai. So now we're done with the Arpa part, going back to, in one of the ways we referred to Goliath was Chetz Chanisai, which is, it means like the shaft of his spear, but a lashon of Chetz, a lashon of Chatzi. the karinon eitz. We call it eitz. Okay, so meant to say the wood of a spear, but we use it a lashon of half. Eitz chanisai. Amar Rav Elazar, adayin lehiganu lechatzi shivcha l'sharasa. So what we're saying is that as when we talked about the shvach and the strength of Goliath, we only got to half of it. Okay, mikan she'asa l'saber b'shvachon shal rishayim. We see that you can't tell the shvach of rishayim. So the Gemara says, well, if you can't tell the shvach of rishayim, but liliftach beikal, so why do you mention it at all? So the Gemara says, no, we have to tell you mikza shvachay, why liduye shvachay de David. Because otherwise it's going to look like David just killed a regular guy. So we have to talk, but what we're saying is he was much more powerful than we give him than the Gemara is even discussing, than the Navi even discussed, but we had to show that he was powerful to give shvach that David was able to kill him. Okay, b'nei amoin bo menatzchunei shel shevach. That b'nei amoin, again, there was another example, are led into war with the strength of shevach, who we don't know as much about, at least in the folklore. K'siv shevach, uksiv shevach. Okay, so again, he was sometimes called Shevach and sometimes called Shevach. So we're going to have a machlekes. Rav Shmuel Chadamar, what was his real name? Shevach Shema. His name was Shevach. Well, I'm going to call him Shevach. She'asu k'Shevach. Right, he was tall like a chicken coop. Okay, have that room for the... That's what it means that he was tall, strong, like a Shevach. Chadamar, Shevach Shema. His name was really Shevach. L'manikra Shema Shevach. Why was he called Shevach? Lashon of pouring out. She'll call Royosai Nishpach Lefanav Kikitai. They lost control of all their bodily functions. That's how fearful he was when they encountered him. That's why it was called Shevach. Right? So, Ashbasai Kikever Pasuach. This is talking about Shevach. His Ashbasai, right? That's the quiver where the arrows are placed into, is Kikever Pasuach. Okay, like an open grave. Kulam Gibayrin. They were all Gibayrin. Rav Shmuel, Vamila, Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Chanamar Bishash Zerkin Chetz. When he would shoot an arrow, Oisai Ashbasa Shashbasa Sachalalam. That with one arrow, he was so powerful, he was able to make dumps, garbage dumps full of corpses. V'shem atoymar she'umnim bekarav. That maybe they were just expert fighters, okay, but they weren't really strong, they weren't really powerful. Tamalam kulam gibayrim. Okay, maybe they were expert marksmen. Tamalam kulam gibayrim. No, it was a gibar, it was brute strength. That's what they had. V'chanamar b'shasha oisin sercheim. That it wasn't that they would make ashbais v'chalavim of dead bodies, but rather when they would go to the bathroom, oisin ashbais shel zevel. Okay, they would have ashbais, mounds and mounds of feces, right, showing that they must have been really large people. The other alternative explaining that is that they're not large and powerful, but maybe they were sickly. So we see normally a regular guy that has too much zevel, okay, if he goes to the bathroom too much, right, it's too much feces or excrements, and then it's some sort of intestinal illness. Okay, you gotta Itarach benafshe, the nafgemina is to go find, right, before it gets worse, we know that chol me'ayim is something that could eventually lead to death, so make sure to go to the doctor and find some medicine for that. Daigo belev, so the pasuk says, daigo belev, ish, that if the person has worry, if he's worried about something, yishachena. Okay, now the question is, how do we learn yishachena? Rav Ami, Rav Asi, chanamar, yishachena midaitai, squash it. Okay, meaning that you just don't worry about it. Squash your feelings if you're concerned about it. V'chad amar, yasichena lachem. It's a lashon of yasichena, tell it over to others. And I've heard brought down, this is the difference of the midah sometimes as manifested between of men and women, right? That the guy generally, when, you know, put the feelings to the side. The woman, it's more of when they're worried about something or something bothers them, so then they don't want you to actually squash it, do something. They don't want, the woman doesn't, comes home and tells her husband, she doesn't actually want him to solve the problem. She just wants to tell it over to somebody. Yasichena lachem. We see there's two different ways, there's two different paths of how to deal with something that bothers someone. It's either do something about it, right, which is the equivalent of fix the problem, take care of what's bothering you, squash it down, get rid of the feelings, or that sometimes the way to deal with it, we see there's two different approaches, sometimes the way to deal with it is yasichena l'achem, just by speaking it out to others, that will solve the problem. Okay, so we started today just discussing the Meshuach Mochama, which we got into because of Elin Amar Mechol Lashem. The parsha of Meshuach Mochama had to be said B'Lashon HaKodesh. We went into a little bit of trying to understand at what time, what era the Meshuach Mochama was a possibility. One second, sorry. And we said that it had to be, Mishloach Melachah had to be B'lashon HaKodesh. How do we know it had to be B'lashon HaKodesh? So we said, because it said, V'diber Ala'am, the way the Bavli learns it, is in B'lashon of, V'yidaber Moshe, Moshe Yidaber, when it says V'diber Ala'am, it's Moshe Yidaber V'lokim Yanan B'kol, referring to how Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah, talked at Matan Torah, which must have been in Lashon HaKodesh. And then it says Shema Yisrael. That's how the Mashiach Melchama would start making his declaration. Why Shema Yisrael? Even if they only had the schus of Kriyash Mashakos and Arvis, that would help them. So you're going out Aleveichem. Okay, they are not going to have pity on you. It's not like a civil war, people who are going to treat you as humans, but rather they will dehumanize you. So make sure that you are fit for battle. Yerech Lamavchem. Okay, don't be scared of the Tzal Susim. Okay, and we said that Lamaisa, the Mashiach Melchama would speak to them twice. Once when they gathered at the Sefar before they left, and that's when they would tell them these four things. Misha Banabayas, Notakarem, Irisisha, Yare, Racha Levav, Yare Minha Chait, right? Go back. And then once by the Melchama, then at that point he would say, okay, that's where they motivate them and say, Al Tira'u, don't be afraid. These four Lashon, Tiru, Vatechbazu, Vatarzu, Yerach, Tiru, Tarzu, Tetzbazu, Keneged, the four things that the Akum do, Magifin, Marian, Tzavachin, Rimsin, the four tactics they have, scare tactics at the battlefront of war. We said that, and we brought the two examples of, and what we're saying is that understand these are a real enemy. They're not going to care for you. But also understand that they're being led by people, and you are being led by the Aron HaKadosh, by the Shekhinah, into battle. So you will be successful. We had discussing the two examples in the Mishnah that we brought of the guy and their enemies being led into battle. One was the Plishtim, where Binatzchunai Shel Galius. Okay, meaning that he, Galius, we said he was Oimed Begilei Panim, Kenegad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said Baruch Lachem Ish, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Benish, David, and there were three times he was Hechshil Befiv. He said Vayered Eli, that was the one, it right, Ish, referring to, he summoned, almost Kabayachol summoned HaKadosh Baruch Hu to battle. He said, Yuchal Lilachem Iti, okay, and then he said to David, Akel Viti, that you're coming with sticks and stones, okay, and David said, I'm not afraid of you, I am coming B'Shem Hashem, and he ultimately defeated him. And we said that the Plishti that Goliath tried a couple different ways to kind of weasel in and to undermine Klal Yisrael's chusim. Number one, it says Vayigash haPlishti Hashkim Ve'erev. So he wanted to battle them from Kriyashma. Vayisyatzev Mem Yoim. That Goliath, he waited 40 days, and it's where he attacked them based on the 40 days. Keneged the Arbam Yom Shenit Netayra. And we said Vayitzei Ish HaBeinayim. Right, who was referring to Goliath? He was. We said, what is the lashon of Beinayim? That he was either Muvunim Mikol Mum. He was physically perfect. Okay, that he was Ben Anish Be'achav. He wasn't even the strongest of his brothers, that he was strong, or we said he was strong like a binyan, okay, or we said Beinayim was, he came out, he was born from a mixture of many different men that his mother had been with, okay, and then we discussed that his name was Goliath Migas, and all of the negative things about Arpa, or Harapha, that was his mother, okay, she called Dashan is Imai, Hakol Hara be Imai, right, we got into the name, Harpa, Harapha, Arpa, which one was her real name, okay, and all of her and then we had discussed also about the fact that she had four children that came to Schar, that she cried four tears upon leaving Nami, but she left. So ultimately, her sons fell in battle to Biyadavid, to Rus's sons. Okay, and then we discussed Bnei Amin came Benatzchune Shel Shevach, and were led at the charge of Shevach. And we said, again, with the names, Rav and Shmuel, Shevach and Shevach, which one is it? So we said first, he was called, meaning his name was Shevach. He was called Shevach because he was tall like a Shevach. Okay, or maybe his name was really Shevach and he was called Shevach. Then everybody saw him. What Nishbach Kikitain. And we discussed again some of his strength, Ashpasai Kekever Pasuach, that he was able to kill mounds and mounds of people. That was one lashon. The other lashon was that they went to the bathroom, they made mounds and mounds of feces. And then we said that when a person does that, normally it's a person who has cholam. I am nafgamina, is make sure to seek medical attention. And then we discussed Daiga Belev Ish Yusachen Midaitai. How do you cure if you're worried about something? Because we're talking about worry or fear here, and we said that there's two different approaches to how to deal with that. Either squash your feelings, okay, squash it, or speak it over with others, and that will make the fear go away, or the problem go away.